Susan Macinic, she says, love, joy, and all that other good stuff are the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of our efforts. We can't produce them on our own, period. The fruit comes only as we submit our lives to the Holy Spirit at work in us. Love, joy, peace. And today we talk about patience. It is fruit to us and then becomes fruit through us. So this week I told Cheryl that I was watching her for an illustration on patience, and it didn't take her long. Actually, the same day, she provided one for me. So it goes like this. I confiscated a drawer in our bathroom vanity in the cabinet for some my new sinus wash stuff. So I filled it all up, and a couple days later, Cheryl informed me that that particular drawer was reserved for the toilet paper rolls, the unused ones, because it was the easy reach when you needed one. And I said, well, how was I supposed to know that? And she said, well, that's what happens when you live with people who don't change the toilet paper roll. And I thought for a moment the implications of what she just said, and I said, hey, wait a minute, I'm the only one you live with. And she said, I'm not trying to point fingers. So you see, patience is at work even... with even around us, when sometimes we're totally unaware that it's happening. So we're talking about the character of God here, the Holy Spirit at work, bringing the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit is present and active and working in our lives, and that means that this fruit that's taking place is never out of season. God's always at work. So as we think about the character of God and the fruit of the Spirit, we realize that it is experienced in us, but it's also expressed through us. And now, I was talking with Pastor John Levon, who did this series about 5 years ago, and I was going through some of his resources, and I actually called him up, and I said, John, you know, how do we understand this experience and expressing the fruit of the Spirit? Because to be honest, sometimes, you know, it doesn't always seem like we are experiencing the fruit of the Spirit. And he reminded me that, you know, the primary experience of the Holy Spirit is this deep sense that you are right with God. It's the experience of having peace with God and knowing that by faith in Him, you and I, through that relationship, are right with God. All our wrongdoings are forgiven, they're in the past, and our future is secure. We have a place in heaven, an inheritance of the Holy of God as children of God, and there's nothing that can take that away from us. Nothing can separate us from God's deep, deep, deep love for us by faith in Jesus. And so that peace with God is at the center and the heart of this experience of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes that reality in our lives. And so as we know this reality and trust this reality, then we realize that the Holy Spirit is also bringing all the other attributes of the fruit into our lives as well. The love, the joy, the peace, yes, but the patience and the kindness and the goodness and the gentleness and the faithfulness and the self-control, all of those together are the fruit of the Spirit. And we trust it by faith that God is at work. So today we're talking about patience. So what is patience? How do I know if patience is at work in my life? Well, by faith, but patience is the idea of enduring, you know, this idea of persisting. It comes from a word that means a long time, you know, like the clock here, a long time, or far off, you know, there's a long way. And so we associate impatience with like having a short temper, getting angry easy, quick to get angry. You know, another way to interpret patience is the term long-suffering. Sometimes we find that in some translations in the Bible. The idea is it's a long or a far distance before we become irritable. It means anger comes very, very slowly. Being slow to get angry, then, is a quality that comes into our lives as the presence of the Holy Spirit is at work in us. And this is because patience is the character of God. The character of God is patience. We read from Psalm 103, and we saw it up here earlier today. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. So there's that idea of patience. So we go back to the Old Testament, to understand where the psalmist gets this. And in the second book of the Bible, you know, God revealed his character to Moses. After they had crossed the Red Sea and he went up on the mountain, God had divinely and powerfully, amazingly, brought them through out of captivity, through the Red Sea, destroyed the armies of Pharaoh. And now they go to this place. Moses goes up on the mountain to meet with God and get the Ten Commandments. You know, it's the way that Israel now is going to relate with God and relate with each other. So it's a big deal. And so as he's up there, all the people who are down on the bottom of the mountain, they figure Moses has taken a long time. What happened to him? He must be dead. And so they decide they're not going to wait for him anymore. And guess what they do? They fashion their own god. They make an idol, a golden calf, and they begin to worship this idol and say, this idol saved us from Israel's army. So Moses comes down. He sees all this happening. How do you think Moses feels? He gets angry. How do we know? Well, he gets so angry that he takes the 10 tablets or the tablets that God gave him and throws them to the ground and shatters them, crashes them. And so Moses has to go back up on the mountain and get another set of tablets because he broke the first one. So he gets up there and God meets with Moses and he tells him this. He says, Moses, you know, I want you to know my character. One of my attributes in dealing with people is patience. He says, I am full of compassion and mercy, and I am slow to get angry, and I am flowing over with incredible love. So he says, Moses, it takes me a long time to get angry. And we know in the scripture that God does get angry, but it's a righteous kind of anger. It's anger at the right things or against the right things. But God says, I am slow to get there. I am patient. That's the character of our God. So when you and I talk about, you know, needing more patience, have you ever said that? I just need some patience here. You know, it's not something we can make up. It's not something we can manufacture. In fact, when we try, we just find ourselves still getting mad at the same situations or getting annoyed and irritated and frustrated with the same people. And so what needs to change? Well, the patience, that is the fruit of the Spirit, needs to come into our lives through the Holy Spirit. And we experience his patience in our dealings with others, and it becomes fruit expressed out in our lives. So patience, again, is the character of God. And that suggests that Jesus, the Son of God, is the most patient human being ever to walk the earth. You know, Jesus has an incredible amount of patience as we look through the scripture. You know, as the Son of God, he has, you know, this incredible knowledge. Think about it. You know, he understands the kingdom of heaven. You know, he came from there, and the Holy Spirit is fully at work in him with no reservation, no restriction. So Jesus knows, and he's trying to communicate this to his disciples who just don't seem to have a clue as we read through scriptures. And so Jesus tries to make it understandable. He uses parables and images and ideas. He says the kingdom of God is like, you know, a shepherd who has 99 sheep and one gets lost and the shepherd goes after the one. Or he talks about the kingdom of heaven being like a mustard seed, a little tiny seed that grows into a big tree. And he continues to do this. And yet the disciples, they still just don't get it. They can't figure it out. You know, we have a software program in the church. It's called Church Track, and it keeps our records, and you know, we have access to it, and so every 21 days it kicks me off because I'm supposed to sync up with it. And so then I go to Cheryl and I say, oh, Cheryl, I need you to get me back on Church Track. And she goes, Tim, you know, you have to sync this every 21 days or it kicks you off. And I say, yeah, I must have forgot. Sorry. So it works great again for 21 days. And then I go to Cheryl and I say, Cheryl, I got kicked off again. I don't know what happened. She goes, Tim, you have to sync up every 21 days. It's pretty simple. Just sync up and you got it. And I say, okay, thanks. I'll do that next time. And it works good again for guess how long? 21 days. And so again, Cheryl is extremely patient with this program or this operator. I'm not sure which. And so it takes a lot of patience to work with one another and to live with one another for all of us. But Jesus demonstrates that kind of extreme patience with his disciples. In John 14, Jesus is explaining to him after being with him a long time. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, now here it is, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. There it is. And Philip says, Lord, show us the Father. That will be enough for us. And Jesus is like, oh, Philip, I have explained this over and over to you. It's like, don't you know, Philip, even after I have been with you with such a, what does it say there? Long time. Remember that idea of patience being a long time? That quality that doesn't become angry in a hurry. So Jesus reminds him that, you know, it's been a long time that he has been with them. They should be getting this by now, but he is patient with Philip, and he continues to explain it one more time, over and over, again and again, until he gets it. He's saying, my relationship with the Father is like this. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? See me? You've seen the Father. Do you get it, Philip? Let me explain it. So he doesn't get impatient. Do you think he gets frustrated? Probably, right? But he doesn't act out of that frustration. And Jesus is amazed at his disciples' lack of faith over and over. In Mark 9, in the passage that we read, you know, after Jesus comes down, he says, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Again, that idea, right, of patience. How long? How long? How long? But he does. He pulls him aside again and again. So God's patience, God is patient with us, you and I. But we wonder about God's timing in things. You know, and I think all of us, if we're honest, don't we get impatient with God sometimes? Impatient with God's timing? And we're not alone in scriptures. You know, the prophets, they're waiting and waiting in difficult times for God to act and for God to come. They know the promises, but they just don't see it. And in Habakkuk, in the first verses, he says, the prophet says, how long, Lord? How long must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry to you, violence, but you do not save? You know, a couple of weeks ago, there was a verdict in the Philando Castile case in St. Paul, and we have churches in the Covenant Church that, you know, are directly involved in that situation, and I just want to read a little bit that came out in a Covenant Newswire about this situation. In Minneapolis, Sanctuary Covenant Church Pastor Dennis Edwards and Pastor Swanson, they spoke up at this gathering. And it said, it was a heavy evening, especially hearing from our African-American young men who talked about how scared they always are to drive anywhere. Many shared how terrified they are to get pulled over. They are terrorized, said Swanson. And Covenant Minister Ephraim Smith, he lamented on Facebook, how much more divided must our nation become before the church sees the biblical connection between evangelism, discipleship, and justice? Black lives matter to God, even when it seems like they don't matter in our justice system. And Swanson said of this gathering, and I think this is the heart here, this was not optimism that we came to embrace, but we came to be the beloved community and cry out, how long, O Lord? How long, Lord? How long? You know, I think that we can relate to that question, whether in this case or in our own lives, we cry out and we sense, Lord, how long? Maybe you're in a situation where you've been waiting and waiting on God to show up, and it just doesn't seem to happen. It's beyond your ability or my ability to be patient any longer. And so how long, Lord? And I think about Maria Cubas, and we've talked about, we've been praying for Maria and her family, as her stepdaughter has been taken down to Texas, and then she got custody of her, went to get her, and they had fled to Mexico. And so she's waiting and working through the consulate in the U.S. and Mexico and different resources to try to do it the right way, to get her back, and yet she's waiting, and there's hope, and there's maybe this day, and then it doesn't come, and wait a little longer, and wait a little longer, and I think, how long? And for those of us who are praying for her, how long, Lord? How long? And I don't want to, you know, give us false hope or Maria false hope. about the things that can happen, and yet we wait and we trust. And I really don't know the outcome. I really don't. I wish I did, but you know, my hope is squarely placed in Jesus, in God, and in His timing. And the Lord has not forgotten Maria. I want her to know that the Lord has not forgotten her, and the Lord and we have not forgotten her. And the Lord has not forgotten you either in whatever struggle you are in. Friends, the Lord knows how long. And I know many of you are praying and asking, but we need to hold on to this verse that the Apostle Peter says. For the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness, again that time. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And so we realize that patience is in the pace of life. Patience isn't simply about being slow to become angry, but it's also a longness in what we are willing to endure. You know, that longness of God. Pastor Levon, he in his sermon on the fruit of the Spirit, he says, patience has to do with speed. There's a pace that we relate with things happening around us. Patience is all about pace. So if we think about this, we live a certain pace in our lives, right? You know, some of us a little faster, some of us a little slower. If you watch Cheryl and I walk across the yard, Cheryl's always about a step ahead of me. You know, her pace is a little faster than mine. That's her pace. I'm a little more easygoing and take a jaunt, look around, enjoy the journey. So we all live at a pace of life, right? And we're good with that. We're fine with that. We like our pace. But when something comes along and changes that, changes our pace of life, we get upset, don't we? It begins to make us a little irritable. We get impatient with others or with our situations. And so we wonder, we struggle with trying to live our pace of life. And we don't like it when others interrupt that. You know, if someone's a morning person, any morning people here? Okay. And any night people here? Evening people? Yeah, I'm on the evening end. So if you're a morning person and you get up and you're ready to go and you're waiting on a evening person who's always 5 minutes late, you know, you hop in the car ready to go and they're not there, you get what? Well, the answer is impatient. I'm not sure if that's what you said. Yeah, we tend to, right? We tend to get a little impatient. You know, someone isn't catching what I'm trying to teach. And so, you know, it's like, well, this isn't that hard. You can think about Jesus. Come on, guys, you can get this. Someone doesn't share the same vision as I do, and I try to persuade them, but they just don't see it like I do. So I just want to leave them behind and move on. You know, I want to move at my pace, whether it's fast or slow. Do you know that feeling? Do you know that sense of my pace is the pace? Well, instead, you and I need to invite that fruit of the Spirit and that longness of enduring into our lives as the pace of our lives, as God's pace, because He sets the pace that is right for all of us. You know, we think about Abraham and his story about God's promising to give him a child, he and Sarah in their old age, and they will have children and grandchildren as numerous as the sands on the seashore, and all God's promises are to come about. And yet Abraham and Sarah, in getting old, they think God's forgotten about them. So they can devise a scheme to help God out, and Abraham sleeps with Sarah's slave woman, Hagar, and they have a child. But then later, God does do what He had promised and gives Sarah her own child, Isaac. And there's tension between the mothers and the kids, and it doesn't work out. You see, God fulfilled His promise, but because Abraham and Sarah took things into their own hands, it complicated things and continued to cause problems all along because they didn't follow God's pace, God's timing. You know, and that's what impatience can do for us. You know, we think we want to do life at our own pace, and when it doesn't happen, then we interfere with what God is, or we get quick to get angry and do things that we wouldn't otherwise do. But the fruit of the Spirit in our lives allows us to set our pace according to God's timing. Paul describes it as the power of God at work in our lives, patience. Being strengthened, he says, with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience. You know, when I was going to seminary, our church wanted to hire a youth pastor, and I thought, wow, great timing. You know, I'm going to seminary. It would be really great to get this experience in ministry. You know, the salary would help out as well with expenses. And, oh, this is perfect. And so I applied. I was excited. I figured out all the ways why this was just God's perfect fit for me. And then I interviewed, and afterwards they talked to me, and they said, you know, Tim, it's not that you don't fit this position, but we really sense that this would take you in a path away from God's purpose for your life. Your purpose is to be prepared to be a solo pastor. And so I thought about that, and I was crushed, and I was upset, and I had to accept that. But it wasn't long, and I had the opportunity to serve as a solo pastor in a church that was in between pastors. And for 10 months, it was the most amazing experience I could ever ask for. And in addition to that, as I was finishing up, they gave me a gift of $10,000 to help a seminary, something I had no idea, never imagined. And so you see, God's timing is perfect timing. I came across this passage while I was studying this week, and it comes from the book of Ecclesiastes. It says this: finishing is better than starting. Patience is better than pride. And I think this gives us perspective into God's view of this. Finishing is better than starting. You know, whatever the situation is in our lives, we can be confident that in the end, it's great. It all works out. You know, we have that deep confidence and assurance that we have an inheritance in heaven. And there's nothing that can separate us from that, nothing that can cause it to spoil or fade. It's there. It's ours. We're waiting patiently for that to come. So in light of that, you know, anything else that happens in this life, really, we don't need to get too upset about. We can wait on God's timing because we are assured that he is going to accomplish his purpose for us, and it's a good purpose. I think it's important for us to remember this verse in Philippians, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will see it on to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. You know, think about it. He's going to do whatever needs to be done, when it needs to be done, to assure his good purpose will be accomplished in you and in me. Jesus will finish it. So we really can then be slow in responding with anger. When life doesn't move at our pace, we can accept that. We can wait on God's timing and live at the pace that God has set for this time and this moment, even when we don't see it work it out. You know, God's timing was perfect for Abraham and Sarah. He gave them the baby he had promised. God's timing was perfect for Moses, as he brought not only them out of slavery, but eventually into the promised land. You know, God's timing was perfect for the disciples. Even though they didn't get it, eventually they did, and the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, and they went with all boldness and courage to proclaim the gospel in the world. And God's timing is perfect for you and for me and for us in this world. We can trust God. And when we do, we will have his peace in our lives. We won't have to be impatient or angry or frustrated with others or with our situation, because we know God is still in control.